Yes, I'd like to wish everyone a beautiful, beautiful Shabbos. I hope everyone had a beautiful week. If you can please down for the top two cholim are very, very sick. We know Kalman with Fa'el ben Gittel, Kalman with Fa'el ben Gittel, and Hinda Batsal Wachel. Hinda Batsal Wachel. Hinda Batsal Wachel. Both of them are very sick. But if you also down for Yehuda ben Shifra, Matisyahu Chaim ben Ito ben Sewell, Binyamin Ovadia ben Esther, Avraham Yishiyahu ben Aviva, Avraham Yishiyahu ben Aviva, Chaya Malka bat Batsheva, Yekutiel Zalman ben Sawa, Netanel Ilan ben Shena Tzipoa, Wachabas Ilana, Boch Bendo Benet ben Siwol, Moshe Avraham ben Alexandria Simon, Moshe Avraham ben Alexandria Simon, Carmen ben Chaya Blima, Brina Bracha, Bas Wina, Daphna Bracha, Zahava, Bas Fegalea, Daphna Bracha, Zahava, Bas Fegalea, Yehudit, but, oh, not that one yet, Leia Pesha, Yehudit, but Wina, Wina, Leia Pesha Bas Malka, Malka. I think those are, if you can please down for all those cholim there, some of them are very, very sick, obviously. We said top two for sure. So this week's Parsha is Parsha Shmos. So the Chafetz Chaim Zatzal writes, it says these are the Jews who went down to Mitzrayim, and it says Yaakov and his whole house, and it lists some of the Shvatim. But the Chafetz Chaim Zatzal asks a question, doesn't list all the Jews. It only lists Yaakov and some of the Shvatim, not the only Jews. It first says Yaakovinu, Zok the Chafetz Chaim. Because Yaakovinu went down to Egypt, Yaakov went to dwell in Mitzrayim, that's why all the Yidden who went down to dwell with Mitzrayim. The Jews wanted to live in Mitzrayim, they wanted to live in Eretz Yisrael. Because Yaakovinu went down, that's why they went down. That's why it says, Es Yaakov Ishuvetal. It first says Yaakov, because Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim. Now that everyone else followed him. But ideally, they want to stay in Eretz Yisrael. Then it says, Elishmos b'nei Yisrael b'ayim Mitzrayim. Zok de Walag. So these are the names of the Jews that went down to Mitzrayim. I said, and by me, those present tense. Zok de Walag. Yes, it lists Yaakov and some of the Shvatim, but it doesn't list everyone. Really, there were 70 Jews who went down with Yaakov. It doesn't list all of them. So what's going on? So he said, Pshat de Walag said, because no Jew felt he or she was greater than another. No one felt they were greater than another. They were united. And Zakta Walag, Dafka, because they were united, that's how they were by Mitzrayim. That's how they were able to live in Mitzrayim, but as if they just got there. That's how they were able to survive Mitzrayim, because they had Achdus. They didn't think anyone greater than another. Then the Walag says, Yaakov and the 70 souls went down Mitzrayim, and Yosef went Mitzrayim. So Zok de Walag, you know, you look at the Parshas Mikates, Vayigash, Vayichi, and part of the Parsha Vayeshev, we know Yosef at Tzadik is already in Mitzrayim. So, you know, Yaakov, yes, Yaakov went one and two Parshas, but Yosef was clearly in Mitzrayim, so why do you have to tell us about that? Zok de Walag, it's a Drushi Pshat, but the Pshat is, Yaakov and the 70 souls went in Mitzrayim, Vayosef Hayah Mitzrayim. Yosef means adding on. They were still going up in Mitzrayim. They were still going up the spiritual ladder. They were still keeping the Torah and mitzvahs. For Yosef, they were still adding on to the Torah and mitzvahs in Mitzrayim. And then it says, Vayimusu Yosef Adorah in Mitzrayim. Yosef and his generation died in Mitzrayim. Meaning, Yosef, they're adding on to Torah and mitzvahs, started to die in Mitzrayim. The whole generation of adding Torah and mitzvahs started to die. Yes, they were still adding Torah and mitzvahs, but not everyone, we know. Then, another pshat, another word I heard, it might be based on the Brisker Rav, but I just want to say for sure, but it says a new king came in Mitzrayim but did not know Yosef. And one of the Targumim says, what do you mean did not know Yosef? Meaning, I think it's Targumim said, but part of the laws that Yosef made, I guess the new king started overturning those laws that Yosef made. And I think the Brisker Rav said this, Yosef made laws that helped Bnei Yisrael, that helped the Jewish people. And the king started overturning those laws that Yosef did for the sake of the Yidden, for the sake of Bnei Yisrael. So what's pshat? The pshat is that by Paul was seeing, if I could overturn these laws that Yosef made for Bnei Yisrael and Mitzrayim, and no one's protesting, then I can eventually bring them to slavery. You know, you start off slowly. The laws that Yosef made for the Bnei Yisrael, I'll overturn them. I'll make sure they come null. And no one protests, then boom, I'm going to bring them to slavery. Then it says, Paul bitter their lives with hard work. You know, Paul and the Mitzri made it hard for Bnei Yisrael, bitter their lives with hard work. So the Vilna Gaon said, if you look at the chop, it's Kadma ve'azla. And Vilna Gaon said, really, Hashem decreed that Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people, have to be in Mitzrayim for 400 years. But we know the Jews only remained in Mitzrayim for 210. So Vilna Gaon said, because we know that the Mitzrayim, the Egyptians, made the work so hard for the Jewish people, so therefore they felt as if they were there for 400 years. Even though it was only 210 years, but it was as if they were there for 400 years because of Avodah Kasha. And the Vilna Gaon said, you see it from the Shofar, Yimus Chayim, Kadma Ve'azla, meaning Kadma, you know, they made it early and left. Meaning Jewish people were able to leave early because of the hard work. And the Vilna Gaon said, the numerical value, the gematria, the numerical value of Kadma Ve'azla is 190 years. Because of the Egyptians making the work so hard and the Bnei Yisrael and Yidden, that's how they were able to leave earlier. They were able to leave after 210 years. Even though they were supposed to be there for 400 years. But Kadma Ve'azla is 190. Because they rushed, the Mitzrayim, the Egyptians rushed up, even though they didn't realize that, they rushed up the slavery on the Jewish people. Well, Salavechik, that's how I said, another beautiful vort. I might have said this more than past, but it's just a beautiful vort. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, tell Paro, let my people go. Tell Paro that the Jewish people, Bnei Yisrael, have to leave Mitzrayim. I think Moshe Rabbeinu told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's some Yidden, it might be two or three, or four, but some Yidden, or two or three, whatever, don't deserve to leave Egypt. So Salavechik Zatzal said, that's why if you look carefully, Hashem appeared in a burning bush. The bush had thorns outside, and the fire was just inside. Zakwa Salavechik, what a Kaddish Baruch was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, yes, some Jews might have thorns on the outside, but every Jew has a pintel yid. Every Jew has a flame of fire, a flame of ruchnis, a flame of Torah mitzvah, you know, a pintel yid burning in them. Then Ravai Marcus from Eretz Yisrael said, someone told him this, but I thought it was a beautiful word. We noticed that Moshe Rabbeinu looked there and looked to the right and left. Then he killed the Egyptian who was hitting the Jew. So what's Pshat? So Ravai Marcus said, Koviko means, when he told me something, he said, Moshe Rabbeinu was looking to his Egyptian side. Don't forget, Moshe grew up in the Egyptian palace of power, and then Moshe was looking to his Jewish side. He was saying, am I Egyptian or am I Jewish? He killed the Mitzri, and he said he put the Mitzri in the hole, in the sand. But Moshe Rabbeinu put the Mitzri in him. The Egyptian side of Moshe Rabbeinu, he put into chol, he put the chulin. He nullified the Egyptian part of him when he killed that Mitzri. That's what's called the call. Moshe Rabbeinu looked to the Egyptian side of himself and the Jewish side of himself. What should I do? I'm killing the Egyptian. And then I'll nullify the Egyptian part of me. Okay, I'm gonna tell you two halachah words. Again, ask your local Orthodox rabbi. These halachas just discussed at the Shabbos table. Ravai Marcus told me this. Let's say you're chewing food. You made a bracha and challah, and you didn't swallow a piece of challah. You did not swallow any challah yet, and you're just chewing it. And the guy next to you, or the woman or man next to you is making a bracha. Ravai Marcus, right? You cannot answer amen to the bracha unless you swallowed food. Unless you swallowed some food, if you're just chewing it, but you didn't swallow anything, you can't make an amen to your friend's bracha. Ravai Marcus also, let's say you had a fully satisfying meal. You ate more than a kazayis of bread, and you're fully satisfied. And then you forgot, did I bench or not? So Ravai Marcus, if you're still fully satisfied, and you have more than kazayis of bread, obviously, you have to bench again. Because for you, benching is doraisa. And suffik doraisa l'chuma. So if you're fully satisfied, you're real for savata, and you have more than kazayis of bread, obviously, then you have to bench again if you're masupak, whether you benched or not. Have a gavaldik Shabbos. I hope everything's going well. Bye-bye.